Please follow along with me as I read 2 Corinthians 9. Remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each of you should give what you have decided to give in your hearts, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to bless you abundantly, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. As it is written, they have freely scattered their gifts to the poor, and their righteousness endures forever. Now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. And through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. This service that you perform is not only in supplying the needs of God's people, but it is also overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God. Because of the service by which you have proved yourselves, others will praise God for the obedience that accompanies your confession of the gospel of Christ, and for your generosity in sharing with them and with everything else. And in their prayers for you, their hearts will go out to you because of this surpassing grace God has given you. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Well, it is nice to be back in Massachusetts, and even nicer that the weather is starting to warm up a little bit. Aaron and I had a great time in California, got to visit my brother, saw his friends and family, got to visit our old churches. Aaron preached a couple of times at our old churches. It was just lovely to be home, but lovely to be back as well. Aaron's staying for a couple more weeks, but I am excited to be here with you guys and to start preparing for Easter. I've been staying in touch with what you guys have been doing. I had talked to Diane and Jim before they came. I was excited for their messages on prayer and scripture, and I hope that it stirred something in you and taught you something new about how to draw closer to God. I admit that I meant to keep up with what you guys had been doing, to participate in our daily exercises and to continue to pursue that discipline during Lent, but I must confess I did not stay up with it quite as well as I would have liked to. Going out to vacation, I thought, what's the big deal? It's 10 minutes a day. I can find 10 minutes a day to pray. It won't be a problem at all. But then, you know how life goes. Things come up. Travel, you're busy, you forget, you get sick. And I wasn't able to be as consistent with the disciplines as I had hoped to be. But that's okay. We serve a gracious and forgiving God, a God who is full of second chances. The whole purpose of this Growing Deeper series during Lent isn't about getting it perfect. It's about doing our best. And we don't seek God out of guilt or obligation, but out of love and devotion. And God knows that things get busy and that we slip up, but he always welcomes us back with open arms. So if you're like me and haven't quite been doing as much as you had hoped, had kind of lost your way a little bit, I'd invite you to join me in rededicating yourself this week to practicing these disciplines and trying to encounter God in a new way. Today, like I said, we have a good one. We're talking about generosity, about sharing our lives with those around us. It's a beautiful discipline. It's the act of giving oneself away, of putting others before ourselves. But it's a hard one as well, one that we often balk at and shy away from because generosity requires so much from us. Requires sacrifice and service and trust and obedience. And sometimes it feels like generosity requires more than we're able to give. Listen to how author Carrie Watt Kent describes it. She says, giving is a spiritual discipline that is often, unfortunately, associated with obligation. And for many, the discipline of giving is also wrought with fear. If I give away some of my very limited resources, how will I ever have enough? but giving changes your perspective. You realize how much you have. When we give, we get a glimpse of the abundance of God. When we hoard out of fear, we live in the midst of scarcity, and that robs us from intimacy with God. I love the tension that she sets up here, that we can either live in abundance or we can live out of fear with scarcity. And at its core, generosity is a fight between those two poles of fear and faith. Do we believe that God provides for all of our needs? Or do we live in fear, clinging to the things we have, trusting that the things we own will provide for our security? It's a hard battle to face because all of our lives we're trained to want more. A bigger house, a bigger car, a bigger bank account. Our lives center around earning and purchasing and collecting. And we're afraid that we won't have enough. Yet we're oblivious to how little others have. But when we stop and think about it, we all know that we have more than enough, that God has provided more than we will ever need. A warm house, clean water, education, freedom, health. We are secure in God because we have a good, good Father that provides richly for us. Listen to how the Bible describes God's abundant love. Jesus says, "I came that they may have life and have it abundantly." In James, we learn that every good and perfect gift is from above, from our Father of heavenly lights. And in John, we read that we all live off God's generous bounty, gift after gift after gift. All of our needs are provided for. God has blessed us more than we could ever imagine. And living generously helps us realize this. Living generously helps us be freed from fear, freed from the need to collect and earn and purchase, free from believing that things will provide us with the security that we long for. When we live generously, we learn that God is generous with us. So we fight fear with faith, believing that God has already given us everything we could ever need, and that trusting that His provisions are enough. Our text today tells us that we should dedicate ourselves to living generously, and it reminds us that we reap what we sow. Whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, Paul says. And whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Makes sense. If you're planting a garden, you plant one seed, you get one plant. If you scatter 1,000 seeds, you get 1,000 plants. It's the same way in life. When you dedicate yourself to something, when you practice hard, learning a new language, a sport, an instrument, when you invest yourself, you see results. It's the same with the kingdom of God. When we dedicate ourselves to doing good, we see results. Whether it's a new relationship developing, a deeper sense of intimacy with God, an inner joy, we reap what we sow. Therefore, Paul says, each of us should give what we have decided in our hearts to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. We should give cheerfully because we reap what we sow, and God is faithful to us. I don't believe that this text is only talking about money. Oftentimes, you know, on Stewardship Sunday, the one day a year, pastors all talk about money. We use this text to say that God wants our financial resources, and that's true. But God wants more than just our money. God wants all of us, our time, our talent, and our treasure. He wants our lives given generously to his work, that we would live sacrificially to others. And that takes place in a number of areas in our lives. In terms of giving God our time, it might mean learning how to put the first things first, how to prioritize on the things that God really cares about, your friends, family, spending time with God, serving others. It might mean that you have to say no to something so that you have time to say yes to God. It might mean that you don't get to sleep in on Sunday mornings, that you come to gather to be renewed and recharged. It might mean that you give up some TV so that you have time to serve and to care for those around you. Giving our time to God might mean choosing to work less and therefore living to live on less, so that we have the time to do the work God has called us to. Volunteering, spending time with your kids, investing in relationships that you have here at church, all of these things take time. And as God calls you to serve him, to say yes to him, means we have to say no to something else, to sacrifice some of our time for the sake of others. In terms of talent, it might mean finding new ways to share your gifts with those around you. Each of us have been handcrafted by God, and we have many gifts to share, many talents and skills that this world needs. Whether you've been blessed with a listening ear, or the ability to build or fix something, a love of children, a servant's heart, all of us have been given a gift. And those gifts belong to God. Those gifts are tools God has given us to participate in his kingdom, to make a difference in this world. And he wants us to give those to him as well for his purposes. What gift has God given you that you could share with those around you? How can you be more generous with your talent? Might God be calling you to serve this church in a new way? Our lay leadership committee is meeting to talk about the future of our church, who will help lead us this next year. Maybe God has given you a skill of administration or of wisdom or compassion or of finances, and that he wants you to sacrifice some of your time and talent to serve this church in formal leadership as well. So many ways that we can use our gifts and our passions to serve God's body. And part of being generous is being generous with our time and our talent and entrusting those things to God's purpose. Of course, God calls us to give of our treasure as well. And I think this is probably the hardest one out of the three, because in finances, in our material wealth, we put so much security. At least I do. I trust in my house or my car or my bank account to make sure that things are going to be okay. And giving away some of that means that I don't feel as secure, that I can't guarantee my future as well as I could have if I had kept everything to myself. And giving away of our treasure tests our resolve to live with faith instead of fear. Do we believe that God has given us enough? Do we trust that he has provided everything we need to live? Do we acknowledge that no amount of money in our bank account guarantees that things are going to go well? And the only one that can provide for us is God. Can we follow him, even if it means giving up some of the material comforts that we have grown to love? There's no doubt about it. God has called us to be generous with our finances, to give something up, to sacrifice for the sake of his kingdom. Listen to what Paul says in 1 Timothy 6. Tell the rich to use their money to do good. And yes, all of us here are rich by the world's standards. Tell the rich to use their money to do good, giving happily to those in need, always being ready to share with others whatever God has given them, because by doing this, they will be storing up real treasure for themselves in heaven, the only safe investment for eternity. And they will be living a fruitful Christian life down here as well. Using our financial resources to build God's kingdom is the only investment that will last, the only real treasure that our money can buy. And we're being invited to put our faith in God, not money, not the things we own, not the things we collect, but to trust that God will provide for our future, that he has our best wishes in mind, and that it is him that gives us joy and a promise of a good future, not the things of this world tells us to turn to. Pastor Rick Warren tells this great story about trusting in God instead of money. Back when his church was first starting, they had a land, and they had, I think their attendance was something like 10,000 people, but they didn't have a building yet. So they decided it was time to build, to have a place to call their own and to be able to serve the community through. So they had a capital campaign to start raising money to put up this big sanctuary. And Rick Warren and his wife knew that they were called to give to this campaign, to set an example, to give sacrificially. So he and his wife both prayed and tried to determine what God was calling them to give. And after a period of time, they came together and they heard God saying the same thing, that they were to give $100,000 to this building campaign. And at that time, Rick Warren was not well off. That was about 2 years of his salary. And yet they knew that God was calling them to give that. Out of faith, and maybe to make sure they didn't back down from this commitment to God, they told the congregation that that's what they were going to give. They didn't have the money, they didn't know where it was coming from, but they knew that's what God wanted them to do. So they waited for God to provide. There was a good month before the offering Sunday where everybody brought their gifts to God. And week after week, Rick Warren would get up and stand there and know that he had made this commitment, know that this is what God was calling them to do, know that this was the right thing, but having no idea how it was going to work out. So they fretted and they worried. And week after week after week, they waited for God to provide. And provide he did. 4 days before the offering Sunday, they got a letter in the mail from Zondervan Publishing, which is a Christian publishing organization, saying that they wanted to buy his book, The Purpose-Driven Church. And they gave him a check for $150,000 as an advance. Just like that, God provided for their needs. They knew without a shadow of a doubt that God had their back, and they could trust God 100%. Can you imagine giving up everything, knowing that God says he'll provide, and then just waiting for him to come through? Can you trust that if you live the way God is calling you to live, generously, sacrificially, lovingly, that God will meet your needs? I'm not saying it's going to work out like that for all of us, that if we give $10, God will give us back $20. But I do want to say that God gives us enough. Maybe not enough to buy all the things that we would like, a new car every year, a fancy cell phone, or great clothes, but God will give us enough to faithfully follow him. Listen to what Paul says. You will be enriched in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. And through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. That's God's promise to us, that we will be enriched in every way so that we can be generous on every occasion. And that through us, our generosity results in thanksgiving to God. I can't tell you what God is asking you to give to his kingdom. It's different from person to person. But I do know God is asking us to live generously, sacrificially, and to trust him that all we have is his and that he will provide richly for all of our needs. A good way I heard to talk about this was to discern what's personally significant for you. You know, God doesn't say everybody needs to give $100,000. He doesn't say everybody needs to give $10. But it varies from person to person. So what is a personally significant sacrifice for you? If you haven't given before, it might be committing to give $5, to be faithful in that. If you give generously and sacrificially, it might mean continuing to commit to that work and being faithful in God's purposes. For me, it's less about the amount and more about our hearts. Do we trust God to provide? Are we living with fear or faith? This is what it means to live generously. Means to give of yourself, all of yourself, your time, talent, and treasure, and trust that God will work it for good, and that we have an important part in his kingdom, and that he's inviting us to be a part of it. Practicing generosity teaches us to rely more fully on God's provision, and it allows us to participate in the building of his kingdom right here on earth. So that's what we're going to do this week. We're going to practice generosity. The disciplines we've been practicing so far have been more inwardly centered. Prayer, scripture reading, self-examination. They've been more calm and meditative. But generosity is completely different. It's an outwardly focused discipline that by giving ourselves to the world, we encounter God. We learn something about him. We become more like him, and our hearts are changed. So every day this week, I'd like to invite you to look for opportunities to be generous, to look for opportunities to give of yourself to others. Take somebody out to lunch. Stop and talk with somebody who needs a listening ear, even if you don't really have time for it. Help your neighbor out. Give to your favorite charity. In your bulletin insert this week, there's some other examples, some things you can try, but I invite you to do what fits for you, for where you are, for what's challenging to you, for your own personality. But look for ways to give and see how you encounter God through that act of generosity. In living generously, we make a difference in this world. We experience God's abundant love in new ways. It's my hope and prayer that through this time we will come to know the love of God our Father in new and vibrant ways. Won't you pray with me? God, we thank you that you are such a loving God, that you have given us the example of Jesus who gave himself to the world, and you have invited us to follow in your footsteps. God, but it is hard work. Help us to be faithful in this and show us how we can be more generous, God, and teach us to live with faith instead of fear. In your name we pray. Amen.